Good morning. Let's begin. So remember again, we left off yesterday. We left off yesterday with Rabbi Yochanan ben Barocha. So remember, today's daf is Chav Tes 29. So we left off 28b. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara was quoting a Braisa, and the Braisa said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Barocha Omer Ne'emanin. Rabbi Yochanan ben Barocha said they are believed. So the Gemara said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Barocha Ahia, what is Rabbi Yochanan ben Barocha referring to? Ilema as Seifa, if you want to say it's the Seifa, the end of the Braisa quoted, namely that a person is permitted to testify as an adult that he observed as a child that so-and-so had a rite of passage along a particular way. So the Gemara said, it can't be that Rabbi Yochanan ben Barocha believes that. Why? Because then Rabbi Yochanan ben Barocha is allowing for money to go ahead and change hands on the basis of the testimony of a katan. Or I should say, not money change hands, but he's able to create financial realities based on the testimony of a katan. And that can't be. Rather, Ella Aresha. Rather, Rabbi Yochanan ben Barocha must be referring to the first part of the Braisa. What did the first part of the Braisa say? The kulamim haya ovir kochav v'niskayer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Barocha Omer Ne'emanin. So we'll say he must be referring to the first part of the Braisa, because the first part of the Braisa is that as much as in certain cases we allow an adult to testify about that which he observed while he was a child, this same leniency does not apply to a Gentile, or for that matter to an Eved, that a Gentile may not go ahead, is not believed to testify about something that he saw as a Gentile, meaning now that he's Jewish, he's not permitted to testify about something that he saw as a Gentile, and an Eved is not permitted to testify about something that he saw before he was emancipated. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Barocha said, yes, they can. So the Gemara said, B'maikam, if the Gi, what are the Tanakam and Rabbi Yochanan ben Barocha arguing about? Tanakam asavar kevim dovid kochavim hu lo havadayik. So Tanakama holds that since he was a Gentile, he was not careful. Meaning, again, they're not the same laws of testimony for Jews and Gentiles. So perhaps, again, he's not as vigilant in terms of trying to make sure that what he's testifying to is correct. Rabbi Yochanan ben Barocha, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Barocha holds, Kevan didaite le'igiyure, meida kavedaik. It is interesting. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Barocha said that apparently conversion is not, you know, a spur-of-the-moment decision. A person is thinking about that for a long time. So even when he's a Gentile, he knows that one day his goal is to become Jewish. And therefore, when he sees things, he may know that at some point in time he may be called to testify about them. Therefore, the Maaseh, he is vigilant to, in fact, remember all of the details correctly. Okay, so Gemara says, my ketzas. So remember again, one of the things that an adult is permitted to testify that he observed as a child was that I saw people eating ketzatza. So what's ketzatza? My ketzatza. Also, it's very interesting. The Tanur Rabbanon, ketzad ketzatza. What is the case of ketzatza? Echad min ha'achin shenasa isha shein hageneslo. If you had one of the brothers, meaning someone from a family, who married a woman who was not fit for him. Now I'll say, now what that means is, whenever the Gemara uses that lashon, as you know already, that it's talking about this genealogical blemish. So he marries a woman who is genealogically blemish, whatever, she's a mamzeres, or whatever it might be. So what's the halacha? Bo'in b'nei mishpacha umavin chavis malei aperos. So the family members come to to the center of the town, and they bring a barrel filled with fruit. The shovrin osa be'emtza rechava. And they smash the barrel in the middle of the town, the Omrim, and they say, Achinu Beis Yisrael, our fellow brethren, Shimu, listen, Achinu Ploni Nasa Isha She'ina Hogeneslo. Our brother has married someone, our brother so-and-so has married a woman who is not appropriate. Umisyarim Anu Shema Yisariv Zaro Bizarinu. And we are confused that perhaps people will confuse his offspring with our offspring. In other words, there's a concern over here. The concern over here is that at the end of the day, if this brother is marrying someone who is not really permitted to marry, that will go ahead and cast genealogical aspersions upon the entire family. So what do? They make a public repudiation. They say, understand, his actions do not reflect the actions of the family. He married whoever he married, but the rest of our line is genealogically fit. They smash the barrel. They say, Bo ukechulachem dugma ledoros. go ahead and take for yourself something to remember for all generations, i.e. take one of the fruit, shelo yisariv zaro bizarenu, in order that his line does not, his offspring do not mix with our offspring. So we'll say, so the Maharsha explains over here that this idea of zehu zohi kitzatza shatinok ne'eman lahaidba. So kitzatza is this process of smashing the barrel, the announcement, and taking of the fruit. So the Maharsha says something very interesting. The Maharsha says, since everyone knows that children love fruit, right? I guess, you know, it was the Talmudic candy. Children love fruit. So what's going to happen? The whole idea over here was you wanted to do something, not just that the adults would remember, but that the children would remember. So that's the Ochap over here, because they want to make it clear that the actions of this particular brother should not corrupt the rest of the family line. Therefore, an adult is believed to say that I remember as a child, I ate at the kitzatza of so-and-so. Okay, Hadron Allah, Ha'isha Shinis Armala. New parak, Rabosei. Elu Naras. Now, Rabosei, this parak is going to deal with a lot of the halachos of the Onis and the Mefata. So the Onis and the Mefata is a man who either violates or seduces a besula. So the halachas, we're going to learn these halachas, and we're going to see again that there are two separate penalties. There's a financial penalty of 50 silver shkalim, and there's also in the case of the man who violates a woman, an absolute obligation to go ahead and marry this woman, and he may never divorce her. So now we're going to go ahead and go through these particular cases. Obviously, we'll discuss these details as they unfold. Says the Gemara, Elu na'aros sheishlan kinas. These are the girls who are entitled to a penalty if they are violated. Rashi says, Elu na'aros, dafka na'ara mishivia shtei saros acheti boger, vehem shisha chadashim shamei na'aros labagros, aval kitana ubogeres ein lahem kinas. So Bo says, we're going to see over here, the Mishnah is dafka talking about a na'ara. Now, in the stages of maturation of a girl, so we know there is the following, from the eight, from whatever we'll call birth, or 3 until 12 years old, she's called the kitana. From 12 years old and 1 day to 12 years old and 6 months, she's called the na'ara, and the assumption is that during that period of time, she exhibits signs of physical maturation, at least 2 pubic hairs, and from 12 years old and 6 months and on, she's called the bogeres, a gedola, an adult woman. So Rashi just pointing out over here that the Mishnah seems to indicate that it's dafka, a na'ara, which is only a girl in that six-month window who is entitled to that kenas. So we'll speak about that. So these are the girls who are entitled to the kenas. Rashi says, sheish len kenas, im ansa adam, if a man violated one of these women, no sin la'avia chamishim kesef, he has to give to her father 50 silver pieces, kidichsiv v'nasan ha'ish ha'shochev. So these are the women who are entitled to the 50 shekel penalty, I should say 50 silver shekel penalty if they violate him. Who are they? Hamamzeres, Nesina, Kusis. If a man violates a Mamzeres, or a man violates a Nesina, we've learned about all of these people in the past. So we saw the Nesinim, and we spoke about them extensively in Yevamos. So the Nesinim are the Givonim, who ultimately masqueraded as another nation when Yehoshua came in, and they went ahead. Yehoshua made a treaty with them, and then after discovering their real identity as one of the nations of Canaan, Yehoshua could not backtrack on the treaty, and therefore they were made the water carriers of the Jewish people. And Kusim we know are these nations, that the nation that was resettled in Eretz Yisrael under Nebuchadnezzar. They converted, but their conversion is always subject to incredible dispute. In any event, the Mishnah says, nevertheless, these women, Mamzeres, Nesin, and Kusis, if they are violated by a man, they are entitled to the penalty payment. Habal agiores, va'al ashvuya, va'al shivcha, sheniftu, v'sheneskayru, bless you, v'sheneshtacharu, p'chusim, v'vinosh, shaloshan, v'yomechad. Similarly, again, if a man violates a woman who converted, or a shvuya, a woman who was taken captive, or a shivcha, a woman who was a maidservant, and these women were redeemed, ransomed, and converted, less than 3 years old in 1 day. And I will say, remember again, the reason why it's less than 3 years old in 1 day is we're going to see that the penalty of the ma'ani, so the man who violates a woman, and we're going to get into all of these details, is the Mishnah understands is only for a besula. It was only for a woman who's a basula. If a woman's not a basula, so the penalty is not the same. We'll get into the details of that. So the idea over here is all of these women independently. A gioress, a woman who converts, is automatically assumed not to be a basula. A shavui, woman who's taken captive, again, as we just saw in the last parak, is automatically assumed not to be a basula. And a shifcha, a maidservant, is also automatically assumed not to be a basula. However, if the convert converted less than 3 years old, and if the shvuya was ransomed less than 3 years old, and if the maidservant converted less than three, it was emancipated less than 3 years old, so we'll say, remember, again, anything that happened prior to age of three is halachically insignificant. Therefore, they all have the status of a basula. Therefore, if you violated any of these women, halacha lemaisa, she would be entitled to the knas. Haba lachoso va'al achosav. If someone will say, if a man violates his sister, or he violates his father's sister, achosaviv, va'al achos ima, or his mother's sister, va'al achos ishto, or his wife's sister, va'al ishes achiv, or his brother's wife, va'al ishes achi aviv, or his father's brother's wife, va'al hanida, or a man goes ahead and violates him, then I will say, now what's the common denominator between every single person on that list? They are all subject to kares. To kares. If you have relations with any of these women, you are subject to karis. Yesh lem knas. So we'll say, so remember again, that is a sister, my father's sister, my mother's sister, my wife's sister, my brother's wife, my father's brother's wife, and a woman who was in nida. Relations with any of these women carries a little penalty of karis. So now here's the interesting question. A man violates one of these women. I will say one of the interesting topics that we're going to get into is the concept of kimle b'dirabamine, that sometimes when you have an act that triggers two punishments, that triggers two levels of liability, you can't be liable twice in halacha. Can't be liable twice. Or actually differently, you can't be subject to two punishments. So generally, if you go ahead and you do something that triggers two punishments, generally what happens? You get the more severe of the two. So for example, you know, the classic example of this is, I burned down your house on Shabbos. So I've done two things in that act. I've gone out and I've violated Shabbos, which again, assuming there was Edom, there was witnesses and Hasra and warning, is Chiv Skila. But I also go ahead and burn down your house, which is a financial. So again, there is an opinion that says that I will not be responsible for the financial damages. I'll not be, because why? Because I'm subject to the more severe penalty of death. So we're going to get into this. The point that the Mishnah is saying over here is in all of these cases, there's a din of kares, but afa pishem mikares ain bahem misas bezdin. Excuse me, I skipped along. Yeshlam kinas. So we'll say in all of these cases, if you violated one of these women, you are subject to the kinas. The violator, has to go ahead and pay the penalty. But why do you have to pay the penalty? After all, again, he's going to get karis. And we would normally say kimle b'drabamine means that you are subject to the more severe penalty. And the more severe penalty over here would seem to be karis rather than the financial penalty. So why do you still have to pay it? To which the Gemara says, Shehein bihi karis, v'ein bahen mizas bezin. Because all of these violations, all of these averos that we just listed before, are subject to karis and not mizas bezin, and not death at the hands of a bezin. I will say, what the Mishnah is teaching us is a very important yisod, which is that apparently the din of kimle b'drabamine only applies to punishments administered by Beis Din. So when you have done something that has triggered double liability, two different punishments, both punishments administered by Beis Din, I only get the more severe punishment. But if there is one punishment at the hands of heaven and one punishment at the hands of a court, then we don't apply kimle b'drabamine, and you have to go ahead and you get the one that is administered at the hands of the court as well as the one that is administered at the hands of heaven. So since kares is not administered by a human court, but it is administered by the divine court, therefore you're subject to kares, but you still have to pay the penalty. Says the Gemara, Hani naros psulos islukinas ksheroso. So the Gemara says, this is an incredibly strange Mishnah. Because what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, who are you obligated to pay the penalty to if you violate? And who does it list? A mamzeres, a nesina, a kusis, a giores, a shvuya. What about just a regular woman? Right? I mean, why you make it sound like that you're only liable for the penalty if you violate these women? What about a regular woman? What's the halacha? So which the Gemara answers. So psani naras psulos is looking to ask sheros low. Hachikam azura means to say, Elu naros psulos sheish lahem kenas. To which the Gemara says, no, the Gemara is already not stating the obvious. Obviously, if a man goes in and violates stam a Jewish woman, of course, stam is Jewish psula, of course he's going to be subject to the kenas. The chiddush of the Mishnah is, there are other people who for different reasons you would have thought are not subject to the kenas, reasons that we will discuss, to teach us that even though these women are quote-unquote psulos, nevertheless, they are subject to the kenas as well. Habala mamzeres v'anasin v'alakusis. Nara in Kitanalo. So also now the Gemara makes another diuk. The Mishnah said that it's dafka a nara. Remember again, a nara is a girl between the age of 12 years old and one day, 12 years old and 6 months, that a nara is subject to knas, but not a kitano. So the Gemara says, man tana, whose opinion is the Mishnah reflecting? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Rabbi Meir, it's Rabbi Meir. Disanya, kitana mi bas yom echad, va'ad shetavi shtei se'aros, yesh lo mecher, ve'in le knas. Rabbi Meir is of, because we also say the Brisa says the following. A kitana from the age of one day until she brings proof of physical maturity, two hairs, which I will say, let's assume for now means 12 years old. Yesh la mecher, she is subject to the laws of sale. So what does that mean? That her father has the ability to sell her as a shifcha. Ve'in lo knas, but she is not subject to the laws, to the penalty, to the knas if she is violated. Umi shetavi shtei saros va'ad sheti boger, but from the time she brings two hairs, i.e. from the age of 12 years old until she becomes a bogeres, 12 years old and 6 months, yesh lo knas ve'in lo mecher, she is subject to the laws of knas, meaning if she's violated, the man must pay, but her father no longer has the rights to sell her as a shifcha. Div Rabbi Meir. So we'll say, this is the position of Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is of the opinion, and we'll get into this later on, but Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that the rights of knas and mecher cannot simultaneously apply. That when a girl can be sold as a shifcha, she's not entitled to the knas of onis, of being violated. And when she's entitled to the knas of violation, of being violated, her father cannot sell her. We'll discuss the logic behind that shita. Right now, let's just establish it. So therefore, Rabbi Meir would be the one who holds that lamaisa, she's only entitled to the knas if she is violated in that very short window when she is a nara, from 12 years old and one day to 12 years old and 6 months. Shahai Rabbi Meir Omer, Chomakum Sheish Mecher in Knas, the Chomakum Sheish Knas in Mecher. And here it's David says, because Rabbi Meir used to say, when there is the right of sale as a shifcha, when the father can sell her as a shifcha, then there is no entitlement for the knas amount. But when there is entitlement for knas amount, the father no longer has the right to sell her as a shifcha. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Vecham decham say no. Kitana mi bas shalosh shanav yom echad va'ad sheti bager yesh la knas. Necham discredit Necham say no. A kitana from the time that she's 3 years old in one day until she becomes a bogeres, an adult woman, she is entitled to knas. If she is violated during that span of time, she is entitled to the knas. Gemara says, knasin mecherlo. Are you telling me that according to the Chachamim, there's only entitlement for knas, but the father doesn't have the right to sell her as a shifcha? To which the Gemara says, Ema amabes, Ema af knas bemakom mecher. Rather, no, the position of the Chachamim is what Rabbi Osai? That knas applies as long as mecher does as well. Rashi says, Umishum knas nakit bas shalom avala mecher mi bas yom echad va'at shitavi shtei saras. Now, Rabbi Osai, now, here's what's interesting, is that everyone's going to agree that the right of sale that a father has to sell his daughter as a shifcha only applies while she is a kitana. Once she reaches the age of 12 years old, the father no longer has the right to go ahead and sell her as a shifcha. And the point of contention between the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir is that Rabbi Meir holds where there is mecher, there is no knas, and where there is knas, there is no mecher. Therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, a father has the right to sell his daughter up until the age of 12. Right, but during that time, there's no knas. So she's violated, there's no knas. And from the age of 12 and 12 years old and 6 months, there's knas, but there is no mecher. The Chama, on the other hand, say absolutely not true. We'll agree with you, Rabbi Meir, that the rights of mecher apply until the age of 12, but knas applies as well. And even though mecher ends at the age of 12, knas will in fact extend until when? 12 years old and 6 months until she becomes a bogeres. Vahani b'nei knas aninu. Now the Gemara jumps back for a second. Are these women mentioned in Mishnah actually subject to the laws of knas? So maybe you'll say yes. So the Gemara says, va'amai. But how could that be? How could they be subject to the laws of knas? After all, Ikri kan velo sihiya li isha. And Rabbi said, now what's interesting to note here is the following. So the Torah says the following. Torah says, V'nasan la'ha'ish ha'shochivi ma'la aviyah na'arach ha'mishin kasef v'lo sihiyah li'isha tachas asher ina. Now Rabbi said, the halacha is that when a man violates a woman, he has an obligation to marry. Now, I both say, understand, obviously that obligation is for her benefit. If she doesn't want to marry him, or the father doesn't want to marry her off, of course, that's their prerogative. The idea over here is what? The idea over here is that Chazal at this point in time, or the Torah, not Chazal, are looking out for the protection of this girl. That since she's been violated, so she may be compromised in her ability to ultimately find a husband later on. Therefore, to afford her and to give her the security of marriage, so there was a requirement upon the man who violated her to marry her. Again, I will say, obviously we'll discuss, that doesn't have to happen. If she doesn't want her father doesn't want him, so it goes without saying. But the idea is he does not have the right just to walk away. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. The idea over here of the man who violates a woman, so it says that he has to marry her. So the Gemara says Isha Ru'uyala, which tells us what? That the only time that this whole parsha of Kenas should apply is when it's a woman that he could technically marry. And yet, again, these women mentioned in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to marry Mamzeres, can't marry an Asina, you can't marry a Kusis. If you can't marry her, then perhaps I'd be tempted to say that the entire construct, or the entire framework of Ma'an, of the Ones, of the violating woman, of the penalty, shouldn't apply. He says the following. The Torah says, Nara, Nara, Hanara. They both say the Torah states the word Nara three times. It says Nara, Nara twice, and Hanara a third time. So why does it have to keep on repeating this same word? To which the Gemara answers, Chad Legufe. One is to teach us the Ikra Halacha, namely, that the laws of violation only apply to a girl who is a Nara. Okay, chad laasuye chay ve'lavin. The other one is to teach us that it applies even to a woman who is chay ve'lavin. The idea over here is that even a woman who I'm not permitted to marry because she's ushered to me through a lav, v'chad laasuye chay ve'krisus. And the third na'ara comes to include a woman who is prohibited to me on the penalty or on the pain of kares. So the idea over here is that one na'ara teaches me the ikra halacha, at least according to some, this halacha of onis only applies to a girl as a na'ara. Second na'ara teaches me that even a woman who I can't marry because she's ushered to me in a lav, I still have to pay if I violate her. And third na'ara teaches me that even if a woman is ushered to me on the pain of kares, if I violate her, I still have to pay the penalty. That's Reish Lakish. That Papa Amra Besula Besulos Ha Besulos. Rapapa Rabosai says, well, we find the word Besula mentioned three times. It says Besula Besulos Ha Besulos. So why the repetition? Chad Lugufe wanted to teach us that the halacha of the ones of the ma'anis, the man who violates a woman, only applies to a besula. The chad la asuye chay ve'lavin. One comes to teach me that this halacha also applies to chay ve'lavin, a woman who is asur to me through a lav. The chad la asuye chay ve'krisus. And one comes to include the fact that even if a woman is asur to me in by kares, that I still have this din that if I violate her, I have to pay. So here's what's interesting. Reish Lakish and Rapapa essentially are agreeing, in that we have extra words, right? We have extra words. And one of those words teaches us the Ikra Halacha, but both of those two extra words are available to teach me that the laws of this kenas, the laws of this penalty payment for violating a woman, apply to women even to whom what? Even to whom I cannot marry, right? Even to either I can't marry them because they are sure to me because of a lav, or ultimately because of an Isser Karis. So now the Gemara asks, V'Rav Papa, my time with Omar Kareish Lakish. So why does Rav Papa who dashens Besula Besulos Ha Besulos, why doesn't he dashen like Kareish Lakish Nara, Nara, Hanara? So because Rav Papa will say, Hahu, mi bali l'chida baye. Because Rav Papa says that Na'ara, Na'ara, Hana'ara is needed in accordance with Abaye. Because what does Abaye say? Damra Abaye, Ba'aleha Umesa Pater. If a man violated a woman and then she died, meaning not as a result of the violation, she died, she had a heart attack 5 days later. So what's the halacha? Pater. He is exempt from paying the penalty. Why? Shene'emar v'nasan la'avi ha'na'ara. Because the pasuk says, he, the violator, shall give to the father of the girl. La'avi ha'na'ara v'lo la'avi mesa. He only has to pay the penalty when what? When the father is the father of the girl, i.e. she's alive, but not if he is the father of the deceased. So therefore, Abaye needs that nara. Abaye needs one of those naras to teach us, Rapapa needs one of those naras to teach us this halacha of Abaye. Therefore, again, he's missing a nara, and therefore, in order to go ahead and include women who are chavei lavan and chavei krisos, he chooses to darshan besula besulos habesulos. Reish Lakish, my time alone, Rav Papa, and why does Reish Lakish not hold like Rav Papa? Meaning, why Reish Lakish who darshans nara, nara, hanara? Why doesn't he darshan like Rav Papa? Besula besulos habesulos. Homie, by the way, because Reish Lakish will say that you need besula habesulos habesulos or something else. When we buy the gzir shava, you need it for gzir shava. This sanya kesef yishkal kimar habesulos. That was the Torah says. The Torah says that when a man goes ahead and this is actually in the case of where a man seduces a woman, but we're going to see that there's incredible overlap between the seducer and the violator. That when a man goes ahead and seduces the woman, so the halach is he has to pay her kimohar habesulos, like the amount of the besulos. And it says the Gemara, sheyeheze kimohar habesulos, this penalty payment has to be like the amount given to besulos, umohar habesulos kazeh, and the amount given to besulos has to be like this. Now what does this look at? What does it mean? Look at Rashi. Kimohar habesulos, this amount, Rashi says, is chamishim kesef hamifurashim ma'anesis habesula. This refers to 50 silver pieces. Sheyeheze, I'm reading Rashi, chamishim kimohar habesulos, this amount that you have to pay if you violate a woman has to be like the amount that you give to a basula. The amount that you give to the basula, meaning an exuva, is 50 silver pieces. And not only that, umar habasulos, you are shkolim kazeh. That Rabbi say ultimately, again, in the same way, that when you pay for the so we take the amount from the amount we give to besulos, but just like in this case of the violation, of when a man violates a woman, you have to pay with shkalim, high-quality coins, so too for a besula, you also have to pay with high-quality coins. Okay, so therefore again, Reish Lakish needs besula habesulos, besula besulos habesulos, to teach me this gzeirah shava. Reish Lakish nami mibarele l'chedabai, v'rapapa nami mibarele l'gzeirah shava. So we'll say, here's the issue. But Reish Lakish still needs somewhere to learn out the limud of Abaye. Remember, Abaye is one who says that you only have to pay the penalty payment if the girl is alive, and he learns that out from Nara. So where does Reish Lakish learn that out from? And where does Rav Papa, and where does Rav Papa learn the gzeirah shava out from? Ravi Gemara says like this. Well, this is very interesting. Ella Shisa Krai Ksivir. Well, say here's what we've got. At the end of the day, we've got six expressions. Na'ara, na'ara, ha-na'ara, besula, besulos, ha-besulos. So at the end of the day, we've got six. Now the Gemara is doing something very interesting, which is the Gemara is pulling everything together. The Gemara is saying, listen, Reish Lakish and Rav Papa, you don't really disagree. In fact, they agree actually on all halachic points. They agree, number one, that you are liable to pay the knas, that you're liable to pay the penalty payment if you violate a woman, even if she is asura to you through a lav or through karis. They're both agreeing with that. Number two, they're also both agreeing that you only have to pay the penalty payment when? If the girl is alive, but not if she died. And number three, you're also agreeing that the monies that you have to pay for this violation are the same type of monies that a man has to pay when he marries a basula. So we're all agreeing on those points. Where it gets complicated is where you learn out each of these things from. So the Gemara makes a very interesting suggestion. Let's pull everything together. Let's just pull all the drushas. So the Gemara says, here's what we've got. We've got Elishisa Kraik Sivi. We've got six different expressions. Na'ara, na'ara, ha-na'ara. Besula, besulos, ha-besulos. Okay, that's what we've got. We know, let's begin to take them out and learn out from them. Trelu gufayu. Now, two of them means one na'ara and one besula teaches us that in order to be chayiv for violating a woman, she has to be a na'ara and she has to be a besula. Now, granted, not everybody agrees with the na'ara piece, as that we saw in the Sheitan of the Chacham, but we'll leave that on the side. But for our purposes right now, let's take out two of those words right now. So take out one na'ara, take out one besula, to teach us the ikra halacha, namely that you're only chayiv if you violate a na'ara who is a besula. Fine. Chad l'chida abaye. One of those phrases. Now, I will say, now the truth is, now the Gemara is being a little bit vague. One of those phrases. Which one of those phrases? I'm not worrying about that right now. But one of those phrases. one of those phrases, one of them teaches us the halacha like Abaye, namely, that you're only subject, you only have to pay the violation amount if the girl is still alive. One teaches me the gzer shava between the penalty payments and the amount given to a basula. Therefore, what do we find? At the end of the day, Rabbi Yosef, when you take this model, there are two words left. There are two words left, whether it's two basulas or two naras or one naro and basula, it doesn't even matter to us anymore. There are two words left. Chad la'asui chayve lavin, v'chad la'asui chayve krisos. One to include women who are chayve lavin, that even if you violate the woman whom you cannot marry because she is prohibited to you through a lav, that's what you still have to pay the penalty payment. And one to include chayve krisos, that even if you violate the woman who is subject to kares, meaning you're not allowed to marry because there's an iser kares, you still have to pay her the violation amount. Ula'afuke, so I'll say, this is one of these nice gemaras where at the end of the day, like, everybody's happy because everyone got actually what they wanted, and we got that ultimately by pooling the drushas together, which is quite interesting. Ulafuke mehaitana. And the truth is, this Mishnah comes to exclude the position of the following Tana. Why? What did the Tana say? Visanya velosi yelisha. The Torah says that after you violate the woman, you have to marry her. So Shimon Atimni Omer Isha Sheish Ba'avia. Shimon Atimni says that this whole halacha of the ma'anis, of the man who violates a woman, including the financial penalty, only applies to a woman, sheyesh bahavia, whom you have the ability to marry. Whom you have the ability to marry. So Shimon HaTimni says it only applies to a woman whom you have the ability to marry. Shimon Manasseh says, no, isha haru'uya lakaima. It only applies to a woman with whom you could have a sustained marriage. So they seem to be saying the same thing. My bad, what's the practical difference? So listen to this. What's the practical difference between these two shitos? Amreb Zera, Mamzeres Unesina, Ika Benahu. Ate the Nafkamina case, the Nafkamina will be a Mamzeres and a Nesina. Why? Lemando Amre Yesh Bahavia, Hanami Yesh Bahavia. So according to Shimon HaTimni, who says that the laws of the penalty, of the penalty for violation only applies to a woman whom you can marry. I will say, can you marry a mamzeres? Can you marry a mamzeres? You're not allowed to, but technically speaking, if they said, all right, you're married. So technically speaking, it works. So according to Shimon HaTimni, who says that the only time that the penalty payment applies is when it's a woman whom you could technically marry. So if a man violated a mamzeres, he would have to pay her because technically speaking, he can marry her. On the other hand, right, he can marry her. On the other hand, the man, the amar ru'uya l'kaima, according to the one who says that you only have to pay the penalty woman, we don't have to pay the penalty payment for a woman with whom you could have a sustained marriage. So Rabbi said, can you have a sustained marriage with a mamzeres? And the answer is no. Why? Because every moment that you remain married to her, it is usur. Therefore, that's not a sustainable marriage. So see over here again that Lamaisa, this is so here you have Shimon HaTimni and Shimon Manasseh seemingly disagreeing with that which we said before. You see, we thought we reached resolution. And we thought essentially we were saying everybody's on the same page. That halacha lemaisa, even a woman whom you cannot marry, you still have to pay the penalty payment. Comes along the Gemara, says, not so pashit. Shimon HaTimni and Shimon Manasseh have machlokes. Shimon HaTimni says, if you can marry her, then you have to pay the penalty payment. Shimon Manasseh says, if you can have a sustained marriage with her, then you have to pay the penalty payment. What's the nafkamina? The Mamzeres case, according to Shimon HaTimni, you'd have to go ahead and pay. You have to pay the penalty payment. Why? Because technically you can marry her. According to Shimon Manasseh, if you violate the Mamzeres, you would not have to pay. Why? Because it's not a sustainable marriage. So the Gemara says, Ul Rabbi Akiva, da Amr in Kiddushin Tovsin, the Chavi Lavin, my Benayhu. Now we get into an interesting discussion. According to Rabbi Akiva, well, so we've had this before, about in Kiddushin Tovsin v'chavei lavin. We'll say what this means is Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that you cannot affect legal marriage with a woman who is asur to you as lav. Now, also remember, there's a follow-up on this Rashid Rabbi Akiva, which is what? That according to Rabbi Akiva, if you marry a woman who is asura to you by a lav and you have children, according to Rabbi Akiva, what's the status of those kids? They're mamzerim. Very dramatic sheet of Rabbi Akiva. So according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds holds that Kiddushin does not even work with Chai Ve'Lavin. So my Benayhu, what would be the practical difference between Shimon ben Hatemani and Shimon Manasseh? Because we'll say, according to this approach of Rabbi Akiva, you can't even marry Mamzeres even if you tried. So what would be the practical difference? Ike Benayhu Amana L'Kohen Gadol K'Rabbi Simoi. The Nafkamina case would be a case of where a Kohen Gadol marries an Amana in accordance with Rabbi Simoi. Disanya, what is this case? Rabbi Simoi said, Min Hakol Os Rabbi Akiva Mamzerim. Rabbi Akiva made everybody a Mamzer. Now we'll say, now what does that mean? That Rabbi Akiva was the one who said that you cannot marry, there is no Kiddushin by a woman who is asura to you as a lav, through a lav. And not only that, if you do marry and you have children with her, you have, those children are mamzerim. So Rabbi Simoi said, Rabbi Akiva made mamzerim from all forbidden unions, chutz me'amana l'kohen gadol, with one exception, I'll say, a very interesting exception, that if a kohen gadol violates the halacha and marries an almana. Now why? Even according to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi say that union does not produce mamzerim. Why? Shehari amra Torah lo yikach velo yichalel. Because the Torah says, Kohen Gadol may not marry an Amara in order that he not profane his offspring. So the Torah says, chilulin hu ose. It's clear from the Torah that he only makes chalalin ve'ein ose mamzerim. But he does not make mamzerim. So Rabbi say, therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that Kiddushin is not tofsin by Chavei Lavin, the Nafkamina, the practical difference case between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon Manasseh would be what? Would be the case ultimately of where a Kohen Gadol, or let's say where a Kohen Gadol were to go ahead and violate in Almana. So according to Shimon HaTimni, he'd be obligated to pay the Knas. Why would he be obligated to pay the Knas? Why? Because technically, he could marry her. Technically, he can marry, therefore he's obligated to pay the knas. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Asya, he would not be obligated to pay the knas. Why? Because this is not a sustainable marriage. Mostly just a little bit weiter. We're going to have to probably stop like in the middle of this conversation, but we'll go just a little bit weiter. But according to Rabbi Yeshaviv Rabosei, who said that we have to come out and scream at Akiva ben Yosef, because Shahaya Omer Kol She'in Lo Bia B'Yisrael Vlad Mamzer. I will say, so as we learned this sugya earlier, before in previous Masechtos, we saw this in Yevamos, that there are many who are very unhappy with Rabbi Akiva, because I will say, if you take this approach, that Chai Ve'Lavin create Mamzerim, you will have a proliferation of Mamzerim everywhere. Right, coming out of the right, Mamzerim everywhere. So what's going to happen? So according to Rabbi Shavit, who said, let's literally object or scream at Akiva ben Yosef, who says that every single bia creates a mamzer. So my ben Arabas, look at Rashi for just a moment. Shehu Omer Kol She'in Lo Bia BiYisrael Habal Isha She'in Lo Ba Heter Bia Havlad Mamzer Afilu Amar La Kohen Gadol. Rabbi say, Rabbi Yeshavev is arguing. Rabbi Yeshavev is arguing on what Rabbi Simoi said. Rabbi Simoi wanted to suggest that according to Rabbi Akiva, there is a case of a prohibited union that does not create mamzerus. Right? What's that case? That's the case of a Kohen Gadol who marries an Almana. So if a Kohen Gadol marries an Almana, there is that, according to Rabbi Akiva, that will not produce Mamzeris for a very specific reason. Rabbi Yeshavev disagrees, and he says, no, Rabbi Akiva makes Mamzerim out of every forbidden union. So we'll say, if that's the case, then just follow this train of thought. Remember, just keep your eye on the ball we're trying to accomplish over here. We're trying to find a Nafkamina case between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. We're trying to find a case, remember, Shimon HaTimni said that the only time you're obligated to pay the penalty if you violate a woman is if she's a woman whom you could technically marry. Shimon ben Manasseh is saying the only time you're obligated to go ahead and pay the penalty payment is when it's a woman that you could marry and it would be a sustainable marriage. So we're just trying to find the nafkamina, the practical difference case between those two particular shitos. So now the problem, so we thought we had it, that it would be the case of a Kohen Gadol who marries an Almana, that even according to Rabbi Akiva, that would seem to be a case where Lemaisa, again, even Rabbi Akiva would agree that there's no Mamzerus. So because there's no Mamzerus, according to Shimon HaTimni, technically you could marry her, therefore she'd be subject to the laws of Knas. But according to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, it's not a sustainable marriage, therefore therefore she's not subject to the laws of Kinas. Now the Gemara says, what about according to Rabbi Yishavev? Because according to Rabbi Yishavev, Rabbi Akiva doesn't agree in a case of a Kohen Gadol Marez and Amana, and he says that Kohen Gadol Marez and Amana is the same as every other prohibited case where it produces Mamzerim. If that's the case, then what's the Nafkamina case between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Asya? Oh, the Nafkamina case, Rabbi Yishavev, beware, where a person violates an assay by marrying an Egyptian or an Edomite convert. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Chayve asei mitzri ve'edomi b'soch shlosha dolos. Within 3 generations, supposed to remember the halacha is that when you have a mitzri who converts or an edomi who converts, so the halacha is that they are not permitted to marry into the, we'll call it the normative Jewish nation, for up to 3 generations. So if one goes ahead and one marries, let's say a second generation Egyptian convert, so one has not violated an avera, one has violated a positive commandment, because the Torah says dor shlishi yavou, right? So they violated a positive commandment. I will say it would appear that what? That even Rabbi Akiva, who says that every prohibited union produces mamzerim, that's only what type of prohibited union? A union prohibited by a lav. But a union prohibited by an assay does not produce mamzerim. So we'll say, so let's plug this back in. So perhaps this would be the nafkamina case. So now what happens if a man violates a second generation Egyptian convert? And we'll say second generation Egyptian convert means, let's say the woman's parents were Egyptian Gentiles. They converted. They're generation number one. Then while they were Jewish already, they had a child. That daughter now is called the second generation Egyptian. Man violates a second generation Egyptian, is he chayiv to pay the penalty payment? So let's analyze this. According to Shimon HaTimni, who says that in order for you to have to pay the penalty payment, you have to be able to marry the woman, does he have to pay the penalty payment?
No.
Depends.
Yes. Why? Because it was 50-50. Because technically, you could marry her. Because we'll say, technically, there is kiddushin with such a woman. Granted, it's usur, but technically, you can marry her. Because you can marry, you have to pay the penalty payment. According to Shimon ben Asya, who says that in order for there to be a penalty payment, it has to be a sustainable marriage. Is this a sustainable marriage? No, and therefore you would not be chayav for the penalty payment. So now it appears that we find that we have gone ahead and reached the potential nafkamina case. So we're going to stop over here for today, but just to kind of sum up, so I just want to point out, we are leaving off in the middle of this machlokas. So we're leaving, in the middle of this machlokas, Shimon HaTimani and Shimon ben Asya. What's driving the Gemara a little bit crazy is, they seem to be so similar in their shitos, but yet we know that they're different shitos. So trying to find enough communicates. But to summarize, kind of what we have established already is that lamaisa, again, we established a fundamental machlokas as to when the penalty payment for violating a woman applies. We have the shita of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that the penalty payment only applies during that short period of narus, from 12 years old to 12 years old and 6 months. Chachamim paskin that the penalty payment applies from the time that she's a ketana all the way through she becomes a bogeris. You should know we pass like the chachamim, and therefore we'll get into this more tomorrow, but the penalty payment, in fact, applies from the time that she's a ketana all the way through bagros. We've also pointed out that lemais, we thought we pointed out, that we pulled the shitos of Rabbi Reish Lakish and Rav Papa to teach us that halacha lemaisa, we have now a total of 6 different drushos, 6 different available words. Nara, nara, hanara, besula, besulos, habesulos. Those 6 words pulled allow us to go ahead and learn out Abayi Shita, that the penalty payment only applies for a live woman, allows us to make the gzeirah shavah between the penalty payment and the payment for a basula, and also goes ahead and teaches us that it only applies to a nara, to a basula, but also teaches us that lemaisa, that even applies to even a woman who is asura to me because she is chayve lavin or chayve krisos. That's what we thought we established. Then we introduced the machlokes Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon ben Asya, and we leave off with the Gemara trying to figure out what is the nafkamina between those 2 shitos. We'll stop over again. Just a reminder, tomorrow morning we begin at 5:45.